The aim of Black Mental Matters is to tell experiences with honesty. Therefore, some discussions may trigger an adverse reaction. If a discussion is beginning to upset you, we advise that you please stop listening and talk to your support team.
Hello once again, my friend. This is Black Mental Matters. How you doing? I'm Vince the Voice Bailey. This program again, this podcast designed to eradicate that stigma as it relates to mental health, but also we deal with just how we process things, period, in the Black community. And boy, I tell you, this has been a whirlwind. We got the pandemic going on, elections, and it continues down here in Georgia as we get ready for this big super runoff. And so I wanted to what a powerful lady this is and her organization, all the people around her, Latasha Brown. The organization is Black Voters Matter and Black Voters Matter Fund, and she just brings it. I mean, she brings it to the table of why this runoff that's coming is so important, and just why we have to take care of our own community, why it's so important, why we have to get out here and help and love one another. So I love this program. Here it comes. It's Black Mental Matters. Black Mental Matters, Vince the Voice, and I'm telling you, I've got her on the line. You have seen her. She is award-winning organizer, philanthropic consultant, political strategist, jazz singer, instructor, mentor. Latasha Brown, of the co-founder of Black Voters Matter. See, I'm nervous talking to you, Latasha, because I'm... Welcome to the show. Thank you so much, Latasha. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you.
Thank you, Vince. Thank you for having me. And what you didn't say, which I was waiting on, you should say a friend. A fan. I am a fan of you and your work, as well as consider myself a friend. So thank you for having me on.
See, that's why you're so bad, girl. You just know how to get it right in there. That's awesome. That's awesome. I want to, Latasha, because now you're on the forefront right now. I mean, Black Voters Matter, and we're here in Georgia together, and more, the whole world is on Georgia. But I want to bag up a little bit, because your background, when I first met you, I think I was asking you about coming to sing at the Atlanta Job Corps or something like that.
That's exactly how we met.
And you was busy then. No, I think you was ready to do it, but yeah, I wanted
to. I was going to do it. I'm always busy. I was absolutely gonna do it, and
once I got to know you, and then I learned about at that time I don't think you weren't doing the Black Voters Matter project, which is just, oh my god, folks, look it up, Black Voters Matter, and support. But you had talked about your background of helping the folks in New Orleans, and on behalf of all my family and friends, I want to say thank you for what you did. But how do we get to where we are here, Latasha, being Miss Latasha Brown?
I tell people that basically I'm just an organizer. I mean, bottom line, everything, I am just an organizer.
So was Barack Obama. Come on now.
Right, listen. and I'll give Barack a run for his money as an organizer. like literally, I'm clear that I am an organizer. I organize resources. I organize people. I organize power. Like, that's literally what I have kind of, if I look at the trajectory of my life, that's literally what I've done. And so at some point, I really got to the point, probably just about 15 years ago, that I was able to call myself an organizer. I just knew that I just like make stuff happen. I just like to put things together. I could see things. I could see collective power, and I like to put things together. And listen, I have had some tremendous success. But when I tell you, I have had some amazing failures,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yes.
And
yes,
even through those processes, the beauty about it is that I've never let a failure of mine go waste. That I literally, like, some of the biggest lessons that have literally shaped me to be a better organizer have come from those areas that I just straight messed up. Like, when I failed. And so I think part of what has helped, like, the shaping of who I am and how I have been approaching the work is that I don't see, my grandmother used to say that, she used to always say that all things work for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purposes.
Amen.
And so, I mean, I would hear people say that, and I would hear her say that to the point where I didn't even think I knew individually the words. I just hear, I'm like, here she go. All things work for good of those who love God and how according to his purpose. I never broke that down until literally I had to pull strength from that. When I had gone through an experience where I knew that I had done the best work that I could do. I knew that I had worked the hardest and I lost. And I couldn't understand at the moment, like, how could this happen? I gave everything I had. I put everything into it. And I knew, I just knew that there was, like, at the time, there was nothing else that I knew what to do, right? And so it was in that moment that I recognized that in that, I had to surrender. That at that in that moment, it wasn't a loss. It's so funny because I think about, even to this day, a couple of weeks ago, I was like, ooh, thank you, Jesus, for letting me lose that. I was like, ooh, it just would have been a mess. I would have been stuck. Like, the fact that I lost that opportunity, this project that I was working on, I lost that opportunity forced me to look deeper for other opportunities. And so as I look deeper for other opportunities, it's almost like a breadcrumb trail.
Yes.
I just started following the breadcrumb. Yes. I was like, okay, God, where would you have me?
Yes.
Like, where does my gift work? Where does, and it says that your gift will work, will make room for you. So instead of me trying to make the room, or instead of me trying to force myself to get in the room, I decided after this extraordinary loss I experienced, I decided to focus on just operating in my gifts. And as I literally started operating in my gifts, opportunities that I hadn't even thought about, started availing themselves and revealing themselves to me. And like breadcrumbs, I was like, okay, well, let me follow this. And so, and part of that, what I had to realize is I had to surrender.
Amen.
That I had to literally make myself a servant.
Amen.
That I had to say, like, let me let you lead me where you want me to go. And so part of my work, I believe, is part of a larger ministry.
Yes.
I don't know if it's a ministry that I have. I think it's a part of a ministry. A larger ministry. Yes, it's a larger ministry that I'm a part of.
Yes.
That at the end of the day, everything that I am doing, right, is literally in the spirit of, can I literally create and generate a little more love in the world? Like, how can I create a more loving world? Like, literally, even my political work is driven by this question for the love of humanity. How can I operate and put folk in position and take those out that literally are not operating for the love of humanity? How can I create and push and organize around power and policy that actually says, for the love of humanity? And so it's interesting because I think sometimes I would say that there's a phase in my life that I was looking for the external thing. I wanted the position. I wanted, I wanted the position. I wanted the job. I wanted the resources.
Yes.
Right. I wanted the glory. Like, all of that. Now what I want is, I am so honored that God would use me. I just want to be used. I'm like, God, use me. And so when I surrendered myself to that, I cannot tell you how it has opened up so much in my life.
Oh, my God. Listen here. I'm about to take a collection. The choir's going to sing, and I want everybody just to marinate on what you just said. Oh, my God, because you, I mean, I see it clearly, Latasha, and I think that's one of the reasons I love you so much because, I mean, following, reading about, you know, your work and then knowing you and things, I mean, it is just so inspirational. And, I mean, the things that, I know you too, you get excited. This is what I get excited about, Latasha, is when I see something, I say, oh my God, because I know it's so much more than that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know,
yeah, right.
when he show you a little something. Now see, and this isn't supposed to be a religious show, but you got me going. I'm ready to, we in church here for a second. But when you see something,
and the funny thing, but I'm not even talking about it in the context of religion for me. This is my politics. This is my life.
Yes.
I carry my belief, not in a context of it. I don't care what you believe.
Right.
I don't care what your faith is. Matter of fact, I don't even care if it is not up to me whether you choose to believe in a higher power or nothing, or a higher power. You can call it what you want, God. It doesn't matter to me. I'm not attached to that. But we have got to acknowledge that there is some power called love, that we all crave, that we all desire. Who can say that there's not something, some kind of element of power that is love? So if people are more comfortable in saying that it's love, then that's fine with me, whatever that is, however they understand that. But there has to be a human acknowledgement that there is something, there is some power, there's some energy, there is something that many of us call different names, some of them call love, some of them call energy, some of them call God, whatever, that literally is operating on our behalf. And so for me, it's not about trying to evangelize people of a particular kind of belief. It's literally around me just sharing my story of I have to own what eat.
That's right. That's right. And you know, again, this is Black Mental Matters. And there are many episodes, you know, we talk about clinical types of things when you think about mental health. But really, it's how you live your life. And that, you know, that's what you're talking about right there. And just being obedient and following, like you said, using the gifts that you have been given, even bringing your songstress attributes to the table. I mean, what is it? Keep your eyes on the prize. Like, go ahead, girl.
No.
I mean, who?
And I'm not asking people, you know, this is going to sound strange what I say, but I'm not asking people to believe in anything outside of themselves.
Mm.
That's not my approach. What I am saying is that there is something in you that you have to tap into, that you are, I am. Like, there's something that you have to tap into. Like, when we die, that body is there. You know, if something's missing, you're like, okay, I see the body, but the person ain't there no more, right? What is that? That is the spirit. Mm. And so I think we spend so much time trying to fix up and to make the outside look good. And ain't nothing wrong with it, because I like it. I like the outside looking good too, right?
That's right.
But that really where our power is in that inner spirit. That power is in that piece of us that says, I love me. That I am an embodiment of love. That I am the highest expression of love, right? That I am, that everything that I am going through, including those things that have caused me pain, including those things that have been harmful to me, that how can I extract from that to literally use it as my stepping stone to really tap into such a, sometimes I can tell you, it was a heartbreak for me. A relationship was a heartbreak for me that literally was the biggest lesson, that it was the biggest catalyst for me,
yes,
of getting to the point to love myself.
Yes.
I thought I loved myself. I was in a relationship. I thought I was good. I was like, I'm good. Right, until it went south, and then all of a sudden, everything about me I questioned. I questioned how pretty, I questioned was I worthy, I questioned was I good enough, or why he don't want me, why he won't marry me, why did he leave me, all of those things. And so it made me get down to the bottom. I had to get down to the bottom where I literally had to deal with this issue that I did not feel worthy to anybody. I was waiting for somebody to say, you're worthy. I was waiting for somebody to pick me. I was waiting for somebody to tell me that they loved me, because I didn't want to, I had not tapped in to that source inside of me, that love source, that everlasting love source inside of me that says, I love me. Like, yes, if you loving me, that's just going to be extra. That's ice on top of the cake.
I know that's right. I know that is right, Latasha. That
but it's a hard piece. I know that there are people having a hard time, so I don't want to minimize it and act like, oh, just do that. No, it's not that easy.
Right.
It is a journey.
Yes. Yes.
It is a journey, but I do think in this culture, part of what we see is we, unfortunately, you know, and I saw this when I was in Southeastern Asia, and this woman said to me, she was like, part of the problem with Westerners that y'all don't understand that pain has a purpose.
Mm.
And that was, I was like, what?
Mm.
That shook me. Mm. I'm like, who want pain? Because my whole life I'm trying to run from pain, right? And so, but it's at the end of the day, pain is a part of the human experience.
Yes, it is.
None of us escape it.
Yes.
None of us escape it. And so the goal is, how do we create the tools to be able to transform that pain right into possibilities for ourselves? How do we get the kind of support system to really be able to work through and navigate through pain, right? Because sometimes we can't navigate through it by ourselves. How do we get the insight that when we're experiencing that pain, how do we allow that moment to say, okay, what is trying to be revealed to me in this moment, right? Let me see what is being strengthened in me right now. That yes, some parts have been broken, but that's so new life can come through. Sometimes some plants gotta die. Like, if we're in the winter right now, some things gotta die. So in the spring, the new shoots will come in. And so I've had to go through that process many times in my life. I've had to let part of what I thought I was attached to, beliefs that I had to let them die to make space for other things to actually grow forth.
Boy, we're talking again to Latasha Brown, award-winning organizer, philanthropic consultant, co-founder of Black Voters Matter Fund, a power-building Southern-based civic engagement organization, playing an instrumental role in everything politics right now. And it's just an honor, again, having you here. You said so much, and that's the reason we're doing this show right here. You talk about your pain. My listeners know, you know, I suffered had a suicide in my family, and it empowered me, though, Latasha. And their lives were not in vain. And so it empowered me. It says, hey, you can help others with the skills that you have. You don't know what people are going through. Give them a smile. Give them some hope. Give them, uplift them. And as a result, oh my God, I've been, you know, it's taken me all over the country, all over the place, you know, to do things. And so I feel so close, I feel so much of what you're saying. It is so, so, so very true. And now we see you, Latasha. Now you have really, I think every day on MSNBC or CNN, all these TV channels, and rightly so, because I know the dedication and work that you, well, I know what I see, but I know it's even more than that, the dedication and work that you have put into empowering communities. And I just want to bag up again one time about your work that you did prior in Louisiana. Tell me quickly about that again, or not quickly, but...
Some of the work that I did, when I say I organized people, resources, and power, that, you know, in 2005, after I've always been an organizer, I've always tried to figure out, like, my prayer is I've always wanted to be a conduit to connect resources to communities in need. That's, I've always wanted to do that and be a vessel around that.
Yes.
And so, because of that, that brought me in terms of organizing communities in a way that I'm actually listening. If you want to meet the needs of communities, first thing you got to do is listen. And so for a number of years, I've been working throughout the South. One of the areas that I worked in was in New Orleans. I did a lot. I started my adult career in social justice and doing youth organizing. And so I would actually learn from young people for a number of years. You know, if you really listen and work around young folks, you can learn a lot.
Yes.
Because in many ways, they're less filtered. They're more raw, attached to their emotions. And there's a level of immaturity that leaves space for growth, that you can actually see the transformation. You know, at some point when we get adults, we think we already know everything.
That's right.
And so we can't learn us, right? And so even young people think they know everything, but through life and age, they're forced to grow. And you can actually see that. And so part of the work that I did, I ran an organization I was a co-director of an organization called 21st Century Youth Leadership Movement. And we worked throughout the South, and one of the places we worked in was in Treme in New Orleans for a number of years. And so in 2005, when Hurricane Katrina happened, I got a phone call from some of the folks that I were working with for a number of years that they needed some support. You know, and in Alabama, I was doing some felony reenfranchisement work. I was working with some formerly incarcerated brothers to help them set up an organization to get formerly incarcerated people registered to vote.
Yes.
And so part of what we did is we were able, I'll be honest, I heard something. My spirit told me to move. And I went downstairs and literally just started organizing to get some support down on the Gulf Coast and create an organization called Saving Ourselves Coalition, SOS Coalition. And we organized. It's interesting because the thing that I knew how to do was I knew how to do elections. For a number of years, I had been doing GOTV work in elections. And so what I did is I created this model based on a GOTV model. I used the same GOTV get out the vote model. And instead, literally, we distributed resources like water and food and cleaning supplies and medicine, what people needed based on that model, on that kind of network. And at one point, we were working in three states. We had 119 organizations that were a part of, organized, that were a part of this effort. I did that for a number of years.
Wow.
Particularly after Katrina. And then BP, we couldn't even get, you know, catch our breath. And here comes along the BP oil spill. So BP oil spill happened. I don't know if folks understand how that devastated coastal communities Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and in Florida.
Yes.
And parts of Texas. And so I wound up becoming engaged in this organization. They asked me to direct it, called the Gulf Coast Fund. And we created a fund where we distributed over $2 million to grassroots groups and coastal grassroots groups that have been impacted by the BP oil spill. And then I built, then like building from that, because I started realizing, well, if we want to do this work, we got to have money. So how can I get more money in the South? And so the next thing I did is I actually said, well, I'm going to go on the philanthropy side because I want to bring the money down. Right? I figured out how to organize the people. I know how to organize programs. I need to organize money that comes to the South. And so I wound up working and becoming the first director of what was called the Grant Makers for Southern Progress. And so essentially it was an affinity group of regional funders, foundations, and national foundations to really think about how can we get more resources in the South, more money, more grant dollars on the ground in the South to actually help support communities of color and those groups that were doing structural change. And I did that for about 3 years, and it was a wonderful experience, and that's still part of my family. But even in that process, I was like, y'all moving too slow for me. I was like, now how many reports and studies we got to do? I mean, we did 5 reports. I was like, okay, now I'm done with the report. Can we move this money? So, you know, as a result, I decided that I wanted to start a fund. And so we did. We created Cliff Albright, and I created a Black Voters Matter Fund.
Hey,
because we were very intentional that not we wanted to organize groups on the ground, but we wanted to build the capacity of those groups and those organizations that are on the ground. And this election cycle, we were able to fund over 600 Black-led grassroots groups in 11 states.
Wow.
And what that means is we wrote checks from 5,000 over to 300,000 to over 600 Black-led grassroots groups throughout the country. We provided support tools like text messaging campaigns, phone banking, materials, T-shirts, yard signs. What our goal is how if we invest, we believe that if you invest in the ground, on the ground, to those groups to build capacity, that we'll build our ecosystem up. And that is how we're going to make change. And so my whole, you know, all of my jobs have had kind of 3 things in common. One, they've all been centered in some way around social justice. How do we create and make things better for the least of these, those of us that are living on the margins, our communities that are most vulnerable? 2, every single one of them, there's some aspect of it of connecting resources, some more than others, but each one of them is around connecting resources. And 3, literally, it was rooted in the empowerment of people.
Yes.
That whatever we did, it couldn't be about what I wanted to do. It had to be a collective process. It had to be work that the collective would do together so that we can move our community forward.
I tell you, if I had a hat, I would take it off to you and Cliff and the whole Black Voters Matter Fund family, because if you haven't, folks, look them up online, go to the Facebook page, Black Voters Matter, and see the work that was done. You got the blackest fleet of buses now that have been going across the country throughout the South, getting people registered to vote, empowering communities, as you say, funding organizations and things. And that's, you know, in the time that we have left, that wanted to get to this, because this is a pivotal time in our history, not only in Georgia, but for the entire country. But all our eyes are on Georgia right now as it relates to this vote. And just a very basic question first, Latasha, why should Black folks vote? Because, you know, you hear sometimes some pushback, this ain't gonna matter, that ain't gonna matter. But the name of this is Black Voters Matter. Why do Black voters matter, Latasha?
Because Black people matter. Because Black health matters. Because the Black community matters. Because Black children matter. Because Black safety and peace matters. Because Black resources matter. Because Black businesses matter. And so fundamentally, part of our work is really about, not just about, our work is not about getting people to believe in a system that we know has been inherently prejudice, has been inherently structurally racist against us, but it is, our goal is to get Black people to believe in themselves.
Yes.
Our goal is for us to use every agency, to use our agency to get we can't leave no power on the table.
That's right.
Our community is not in a circumstance that we can leave anything on the table. We need it. We need everything that our community can get. We need it. And so we need people in place that are making policy decisions that are impacting our lives. Right now, as we speak, there are hundreds of thousands of people in the hospital, disproportionately people of color, who are literally fighting for their lives.
Yes.
Because of a policy or the lack of policies because one man wanted to stay in office.
Yes.
Currently, there are millions of folks that are in jail right now, literally separated from their families, like not able to operate in their gifts, that are taken away from our communities, that have had a devastating impact on their children, their families, and the people that love them, because there were folks that made policies that some folks got 10 years in jail while some folks got a business out of it, right? And while some of our community was targeted, our piece around Black Voters Matter is not centered around trying to convince people to believe in the system. Our work is centered around telling Black folks that we've got to use multiple tools, whatever tools we can, to reduce the harm that's happening in our community, to hold folks accountable who are in positions of leadership that operate against the interests of our community, and to put people in office at the very least that will align with the interests of our agenda. That's what politics is about. It's about power. It ain't about participation. I mean, it ain't about whether we like somebody or not. I don't need no new friends. I'm not voting for you because I like you. I'm voting at the end of the day. It is about power. Yes. And so we got to shift this conversation, because at the end of the day, every single person that's listening, that their aspect of every aspect of their lives, some policy is part of what governs it. And so I don't know about you, but anything that is going to actually have some governance over the top round, any decision that is being made about me, I need to be a part of that decision-making process. So when we're telling people about voting, we're not lying to them saying, well, voting's going to solve all your problems. No, it's not. We're not even saying that voting is going to be the thing that brings us liberation. Because that's not what I believe. What I do believe, and I know to be true, is that literally who is in office can make a difference on how resources are allocated. And my community needs more resources. What I do know is that I have been in enough courtrooms that when there's a certain DA and another judge, everybody know it. Like, you could be in the courtroom and I'll hear folks whisper and say, oh, no, you don't want that judge.
That's right.
People know the difference.
That's right.
So at the end of the day, we have to use what agency we have and whatever measure of power we have to literally protect our community and to protect the most vulnerable of us. So that's why I do the work that I do at Black Voters Matter.
Oh, it is outstanding. And what you just said, and it's not just those elections that take place on the national level, even more important is those ones, or just as important, are those ones on your local level. And that's why people have to, you know, be aware of who's there on their school board and who is the local district attorney. Just like you say, oh Lord, I don't want to be in court with that judge. Well, you could have voted and that judge could have or should have not been there. It's what we have to do. But Latasha, I'm telling you, I'm just so thankful, first of all. I don't want to use the word proud, because I'm beyond proud. I'm just thankful for the work that you and all of your colleagues have been doing. And I'm looking forward. It's going to be an exciting time here. I know you excited. I'm going to tell everybody, by the time this, it'll be tomorrow, because this will start Wednesday. But on Thursday, you zooming with Oprah, girl. Come on now. Come on, Latasha. You zooming with Oprah. I'm telling y'all, look this woman up. If you don't know, you better ask somebody about Latasha Brown and Black Voters Matter. But congratulations. Amazing.
Thank you. I am looking forward to that conversation. I have been just an admirer of Oprah and all that she's built and all that she represents. And so to be in conversation with her about Georgia, because she said she got Georgia on her mind.
Right.
Right. And so be able to have this conversation with her and other sisters. I am just really, really looking forward to it. So I hope people do join. The time is open. They can join the conversation. And I'm like really, really incredibly excited about it. So thank you for looking it up.
I know you are. Thursday, December the 3rd at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. All I'm saying is, when you get your TV show, can I go, ladies and gentlemen, Latasha Brown? And then you come on.
You already love it. Absolutely.
Well, God bless you, girl. Thank you so much for your time here today. And we're going to do this again. We're going to do this again. And we're going to do this again and again. And we just love you. Thank you so much for your work. All right.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye-bye.